these words from Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 3, and then 11 through 33. The parable, as it's known, of the prodigal son. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing, so he called one of his servants and asked him, "What was going on?" "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." The elder brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him, but he answered his father, "Look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you killed the fattened calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we have to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." All right. So in 12 minutes or less, what's this all about? And what can we learn from this about advancing the kingdom of God? All right. So, notice that this is called, what is this parable called? What do we know it as? The prodigal son. Okay, the prodigal son. And how many sons are there of the father? Two. Does Jesus call the son the prodigal son? No. No. He says, there was a father with how many sons? Two sons. The father with two sons. And so this is a story about two sons, not one. And this is a story not about the prodigal son, but about two sons. And in this sense, by the way, when we talk about sons and a father, I want you to understand that for those of you ladies, is to recognize this is for you as well. Talk about sons and daughters, we're talking about our Heavenly Father. So there are two sons involved. And so there's something that Jesus is saying, not just about a lost son or a prodigal son, but about a second son. And if we explore this a little bit, we may discover a little more about what is the kingdom of God. What is God about? What is the heart of God that this whole book describes? What is it that he's about? What is the heart of God for advancing the kingdom? And then we may find that the Father himself, who has the two sons, may help us more in how to advance the kingdom of God. So it starts out. Luke describes, he says, now the tax collectors and the sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. Okay? Picture that. Pretend the sanctuary has three sections here. Okay? So the tax collectors and sinners, I'm sorry guys, but the tax collectors and sinners are right here. All right? Come and see them afterward and pray for them, would you? So the tax collectors and sinners are right here. And then we have the Pharisees. And then we have the tax collectors. Or not, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. Okay? So we have two groups of people. We have the tax collectors and the sinners, and then we have the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. And Jesus' story is for them, and I wonder that maybe for us. So the tax collectors and the sinners represent the younger son. And the Pharisees and the teachers of the law represent the older son. And Jesus is describing not one way of being lost that we so often have heard through the ages and through Sunday school, bless the hearts of those Sunday school teachers. We all have been at this place where we thought, okay, this is a story about a lost son who took off and did the worst thing possible. And then came back with his tail between his legs, begging to be a slave to his father. But Jesus has more to say than that. There's not one, but there are two sons. And so there's something for us to learn. There's not one way of being alienated from God. There are two ways of being alienated from God. There's not one way of sinning. There are two. There's not one way of being lost. There are two ways of being lost. So the first way of being lost, many of us are familiar with, at least in the story, if not in our lives. And that is of the younger son. He grabs everything he can, asking his dad for his inheritance. He cashes it in, the dad gives it to him. Whoa. And he's got it in his hot little hands, and then he goes racing off to some foreign country and lives it up. The Bible says he squandered his wealth in wild living. So the first way that we sin and that we are lost is in squandering our wealth and living wildly. Squandering our wealth and our lives in the choices we make, running off and doing things our way. And it's very sad and very painful, as his younger son found out. And so each one of us has this younger son in us. Each one of us has those pieces of our lives where we grab it and we run. And we want nothing to do with the Father about this part of our life. It may be about our finances. It may be about our time. It may be about our marriage. It may be about just whatever it may be. It may be about being encountered, being part of a small group, and taking the masks off and not wanting to do that, and just to be face-to-face with others in faith, to say, here are my challenges. Here is how I am a younger son. All right, so there's the first, the younger son. The younger son squanders his wealth and his life, and he's separate. Notice, you know, you got the father and the older son are here at the compound, at the house. But the younger son has gone off, gone way off over here. And so he's separate. He's squandering and separate. Now, the older son has his own problems. He, too, has sinned. He is angry when he hears about what the father's done in welcoming the younger son back. He's furious. He's livid. I want to pause for just a moment to take a look at the beginning. It says, now, the tax collectors and the sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. And the gathering around is a present tense, the building. More and more, these sinners and tax collectors are coming around Jesus. And as is one of the marks of his ministry is that he attracted these kinds of folks, folks who had this struggle, this younger son struggle. And if it's a mark of his ministry, I wonder if it might be a mark of ours. To seek out the younger sons. But we'll explore that a little more in a minute. So here we are. The older son is angry. If the younger son is squandering, and he's squandered his life away, he's squandering it separate, the older son is slaving away, and empty. Younger son is squandering and separate, and the older son is slaving away, and struggling in his life. He's empty. He'd been laboring in the fields all this time. And then the younger son comes back. And it's a trigger that sets off this anger. I've been doing this all these times. I've been faithful in my tradition of moral obligations and what the Bible shares and says to me that I should do. I've been faithful. I've been coming every Sunday. I've been slaving away in the fields. And here you, welcome back. The younger son. Now that's the sin, the alienation from God, is that he's angry and empty and burned out. And some of us in our own ministries may be burned out. So here we have it, younger son who runs off on silly, wild living, squandering his life away. And truly he's lost. And the older son, who slaves away and is empty, burned out in the field, thinking he's owed for his hard work and his time. Both are wrong, but both are loved. But I want to talk about that love. And that's the third thing. And that is that this story is a story about, as we said earlier, as we know it as the story of the prodigal son.
But there's more than one prodigal in the story. And that is the prodigal father. The prodigal father. Now, if I say prodigal, you say what? What is prodigal? Nothing come to mind? Lost. Thank you. Yes, lost. We all think, okay, prodigal son, that means he's lost. But the truth of the matter is, Jesus is saying there's more than one way of being lost. And the fact is that prodigal, looked it up in the Merriam-Webster dictionary, means this reckless extravagance. Lavish extravagance. All right, what is prodigal? Reckless extravagance. Lavish love. All right? Or it's this extravagance of giving away, spendthrift. So the younger son, of course, he takes, grabs the money, goes, and he just spends it like so many folks who win the lottery, and they're broke and worse within a year. But the prodigal father, he too is lavish, extravagant. He is giving like nobody's business, recklessly extravagant. The younger son comes back, and he doesn't wait for the younger son to come. He runs out to the younger son, hugs him, and he calls for a robe and for a ring, for sandals, and for the fattened calf to be killed, to start the bonfire at a feast of celebration. Do you hear echoes of the eternal feast of God? That comes when the kingdom has been advanced. Do you? Extravagant. He lavishes love and never stops. So for those places in your life where you're a younger son, a prodigal son, know that God is lavish in his love, that he won't stop. Recklessly extravagant. Now, if you're the older son and you're on four church committees and you volunteer at the library and you're here every Sunday, and if you feel a twinge of being burned out, there's a God who wants to extravagantly, just excessively, extravagantly love you. And is calling you in from the fields and away from the slaving away heptily to what is the heart of God. The place where the younger son and the older son and the prodigal father are all together. This is the place of healing. This is the place of God's heart. This is the place of the kingdom moving forward. This is the place of the sprouting of the tree of life, as will come at Revelation 22. So there are places like the harvest dinner at the Fellowship Hall. Younger sons, older sons. There are places like the Tuesday night dinner. Younger sons, older sons. There are places like Christmas Eve, when people come because they think they should. That sounds like the older son, actually. And then people come because they're curious to see what's going to happen. They know they've messed up, but maybe there's a word of hope for them in their life. A place like Christmas Eve, right here, is a place of the younger son and the older son and the heart of God at work. Now, there are other places that God is calling us to if we're going to advance the kingdom. And those are new places that have not yet been created. It may be a place of mentoring those who are homeless. It's one thing to give them money, but it's another thing to mentor them and hang out with them, to be face to face with them. An older son and a younger son. And the prodigal father. What place is that for you, your life, and his church?